The following Dharma talk was given by Jodi Hojin Kimmel at the Zen Center of New York City. Hojin Sensei is the abbot of the Zen Center and head priest at Zen Mountain Monastery. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you would like to make a donation or find out more about our various programs, visit us online at zmm.org/zcnyc. Thanks for listening.
This is from the Blue Cliff Record. Yunman's every day is a good day. Yunman addressed his assembled students. I don't ask you about before the 15th day. Try to say something about after the 15th day. Yunman himself answered for everyone. Every day is a good day. So I was struck by this, every day is a good day, and how it came into my everyday, this teaching from Yunman. It's an interesting case. As it's written up in one of our koan collections, it's not like the rest because it has no pointer, like some of them have a pointer, has no prologue. It's just this. This is what is on the serving table. Yunman himself making a statement and answering himself. So there's not much dialogue. And I was thinking about this koan, this as I wake up each day. How is every day a good day? I mean, look at this, what's going on in our own personal lives, in the world. How can he say this? It made me consider, what do I mean by good? What do I mean by a day? So it's not an easy koan to enter, because our tendency is to understand conventionally, compare good to bad. Our mind might argue, yeah, easy for you to say. How's about all that's happening? So koans, for those of you who are new, are an invitation to the here and now, this moment of our lives as they are, as it is, as we come to the Buddha Dharma here, and with a path that we are stepping on a path, and how do we take that step and meet it? It's happening with our deepest intention, whatever brought you here. There was some intention to come today, and it's probably one of your deepest intentions. And this, and the place where we can come here and spit up, in a sense, our poisons, see our mind, heal our ills, return to the source, find our home, explore mindfulness within this mysterious, ungraspable, uncertain now that we're living. Our motivations to awaken sometimes match our activity, and sometimes we have to really practice to actualize what we know to be true, but we forget, or we have forgotten, but when we remember, we know. So a koan turns us around to welcome us as Buddha, as the one who has come thus, the Tathagata, the one who has come thus. I don't ask you about before the 15th day. Try to say something about after the 15th day. Yunman himself answered for everyone, every day is a good day. So you might hear this and think, what a nutball Hojin is. What a nutball Yunman is to even venture to say every day is a good day. What planet are they on? Are we on the same planet? Are they living in a fog? What is a good day? What is practice? What is enlightenment? For real. Not as a concept, but as a real happening in us. Bringing the light to ignorance, something that was in the dark, that's enlightenment. Something happens a lot, you know it, where something was in the dark and you get what's real and true. It comes into, that's an enlightened moment. And when we practice that, that's enlightenment. Dobin says, practice turning towards our inner chamber, towards our heart mind, that is enlightenment. Like, who does that? Who turns towards like that? How does this then make every day a good day? So I wanted to say a little bit about Master Yunmin. He's quite a big character in our tradition. He's the founder of one of the five houses of Zen in China. There was like five different schools of Zen. He lived from 864 to 949 in China. And he studied under Bokuji-ju, who's Muzhuo, known as a very difficult person and teacher. Says when people would come to his door, he would give them the bum's rush. Leave me alone. They'd knock on the door. Leave me alone. I had a cousin that would always say, weave me alone. You can say, weave me alone, he would chant. That was Yunmin. Leave me alone. Once Yunmin had to knock on Mu Zhao's door for 3 days before he opened it. This is a teacher he's going to see. Mu Zhao then grabbed Yunmin and shouted, speak, speak, what is it? Rather dumbfounded, he couldn't say anything, and he hesitated. And Mu Zhao shouted, good for nothing, and slammed the door on Yunmin's leg. And Yunmin was in pain at that moment, had an opening. And he had a limp for the rest of his life. And he studied with Mu Zhao for several years, and then Mu Zhao told him, you should go study with Zhefeng, Seppo. So there was a time in the tradition where there was a lot of pushing and shoving and shouting going on in Zen. You know, 30 blows with my staff, whatever you say. 30 blows here, 30 blows there. One student gets his finger cut off and wakes up. A leg in the door. A cat's cut in two. What's happening? We don't do that. It's not my style. I think killing with kindness works, especially in America. It's just like, oh, don't be so nice. But I like moonstruck when Cher whacks someone and says, snap out of it. So I have those impulses at times where a student comes and I just want to go, whack, snap out of it. But most of these monasteries had very young, like preteen young men in the monasteries, undisciplined. And so these were their teachers, you know, as they grew into being in the monastery. Anyway, Yunmin, his development was knowing where and when to tap with words. So a strong feature of his teaching was that he could apply one word at the right time. For example, to some question, he would just say, barrier. Or another question, he would call out, sesame rice cake. With one word, he would open the heart, open the mind. That would all come together. And in this koan that he's tapping with us now, it's not with a single word, but it's with a phrase, and he answers himself. Now, I don't know how it reads in Chinese, but as it comes to us, it says, I don't ask about before the 15th day, which is the full moon. I'll try to say something about after the 15th day. So, this is speaking about the full moon on the Chinese calendar. And in the tradition, the moon often represents the awakened mind. That the moon is always shining within all of us. So Yunmen wasn't asking about the days before realization or after. More like he's pointing a finger to that moon in us of what is not dependent upon the circumstances and the conditions of those days. Right? How are these concepts of practice and enlightenment for real and functioning in our daily lives? What is embodied heart-mind experience? It may not be what we think, or is it otherwise, as the saying goes? These days are so hot, I can barely sleep. Every day is a good day. I lost my job. Every day is a good day. My relationship ended. A good day? I feel crappy. I have a headache this morning. A good day? Bombs are bursting. Mother Earth is on fire. A good day? What is good? What is a day? When we get caught up in our fear and loathing, hating, withdrawal, grief, body aches, illness, it's hard to feel that every day is a good day, especially when every day brings new decisions that may result in continued sufferings. I mean, is this some cosmic joke from Yunmen? What is it? Every day is a good day. I was meeting with a student recently who's dealing with a very difficult nerve situation that is uncertain, painful, exhausting. And she said, joyfully and tearfully, I only want to practice. I only want to practice. And she went to Sishin, which is a week-long silent intensive, and came back reporting a startling suchness that happened with her. She says, I couldn't, and I wasn't discussing this koan with her. This is what she said. I couldn't stay in before, and I couldn't live in after. The longer she sat, the deeper the grief became. The sobbing shook her whole body, tears and snot streaming down her face. And after a while, she said, she as she was sitting, came a deep feeling and a thought, it's okay. This is okay. And she asked herself, how can it be okay? How can this be okay? And again, the body-mind feeling came to her. She said, it's okay. And she tried to inquire for reasons and explanations, and she couldn't find any. She said no before or after came. Her mind and her body knew nothing was wrong. And she practiced and just dropped into that experience. Didn't change anything. She still was just who she was. But she said she used the word, it felt like eternity. All of it holds a good day. All of it was just as it was. It's okay. And I was already working on this, and when she said that to me this week, I was like, oh my God, like we were on such the same track. I was like, thank you so much for what you just shared. Like she answered it. She answered it. It's so hard to trust this, that is okay, whatever our experience is. So this koan will take us into life as we believe it, believe in, identify in, invest ourselves in, and can open the possibility to touch in and through the vastness, the mysteriousness of our being, as she did, into the everyday, the good day that is here in each moment, because we have a path, because we are alive, because we are conscious and aware of what's arising. And this is what she realized. Her condition is the same, and her mind was entirely different. Life-giving, accepting of what is, relaxing in and through that. She said, this is not fixed, right? Right now, this is a difficult sensation, a strong sensation. This is what is happening. And she says, I just have to keep remembering that and repeating that. This is what's happening. This is not me. I am not this. This is not mine. And this is what's happening. That's what the Buddha taught. So I don't think Yunnan is talking about the content of the day. And it's not like we're having a little smiley face, Buddha face, that we're going to paste on every day. Every day is a good day. The equivalent of have a good day. He's not interested in before, nor the circumstances or the conditions of those days. But we are. I am. Who am I? How often have I answered by where I've been and what I've done? I am this way because I was bitten by a dachshund when I was young, and now I can't stand little dogs. My mother was so demonstrative, so am I. We all know the process of explaining ourselves by where we've been, for our reasons for being, and can be mired and defined by before and after. We may think that if our practice is correct, if we did it right, we wouldn't feel those negative emotions. But what is correct practice? Not avoiding those emotions. Seeing them for what they are. Not avoiding, not running from these feelings, but rather to see how to notice and be aware of them with compassion, acknowledging, but not being controlled by them. There's another case that goes along nicely with this. It's from the Mumenkan, Ordinary Mind is the Way, which is an exchange between Joshu, who I talked about last week, and his teacher, Nansen. Joshu asked Nansen, what is the way? What is the path? What is the way? And Nansen replied, ordinary mind is the way. And Joshu asked, then should I direct myself towards it? And Nansen said, if you try to seek after it, you go away from it. Joshu then asked, if I don't try for it, how can I know the way? Nansen replied, the way is not a matter of knowing or not knowing. Knowing is illusion. Not knowing is blankness. If you attain this way of no doubt, it is as boundless as vast space. So how can there be right or wrong in the way? It's a very different way of being human is raising up. A way of seeing who we are. He's going right to the fundamental. When we're aware of the irritation that's lurking right on the surface, it's less likely that it's going to jump and crush someone or ourselves. When we sit, we say, just sit. Just sit. Just be your breath. Breathing in, breathing out. That's all we have to do. That's the way. Be aware, just breathing in, be that. Breathing out, maybe you're counting. Just sitting is a broad path that we follow and can take us to the depths that we need to go. Breathing like such can take us to the depths we need to go. It includes everything. It'll take us everywhere. Dogen said, practice is enlightenment. We keep turning towards practice. So when we sit down, we say, just, you've been given a practice. Those of you who came, you have a practice now. You've made a step, and that step has met your foot, and it's your breath. That's where we start. And that's why there's emphasis on being still. So we can peer in so that we can unify body and mind. Because one of the things we see in our life is they're not unified. Our minds are so preoccupied. That's doing one thing. Then our bodies are doing something else. So there's a division. And we're like, why don't I feel? What's happening? And then we start to feel, and then we think something's wrong with that. It's like, oh my God, I feel and see so much. What's up? It's like, yeah. Welcome. Welcome home. It's been a while, huh? We had a retreat yesterday with Sylvia Nakash. It was on chanting, and she was speaking about how the hand, you got to use your hands. Like, you don't chant like in this kind of chanting she was doing, or singing. You use your hands to create the shape and bring it out. So you don't sit like this, because then you're just constricted. But when you shape it with your hand. And she says, so you put the monkey out here and get it out of your head. I thought that was really beautiful. She said, get the monkey out of your mind and put it into your hand. Let it serve you. Let it mold something. Which reminded me of that monkey. There's an image I used to paint a lot of a monkey hanging from a branch, and the other hand's trying, there's water, and the moon's in the water, and they're trying to grab the moon. Grab the moon. For Dogen, and Dogen's a teacher, and that's part of, informs our training, so you might hear him come up a lot, but I'll just give you a sense of how he uses the metaphor of the moon for enlightenment in Genjo Koan. Enlightenment is like the moon reflected on the water. The moon does not get wet, nor is the water broken. Although its light is wide and great, the moon is reflected even in a puddle an inch wide. The whole moon and the entire sky are reflected in dewdrops on the grass, or even in one drop of water. Enlightenment does not divide you, just as the moon does not break the water. You cannot hinder enlightenment, just as a drop of water does not hinder the moon in the sky. The depth of the drop is the height of the moon. Each reflection, however long or short, its duration manifests the vastness of the dewdrop and realizes the limitlessness of the moonlight in the sky. So many of the koans that we hear in the tradition are an attempt to use an image or words to heighten our sense of separation. They take us into division. It's a device. We know them. And the challenge is to heal this division, heal the separation, and restore the unity underlying. That's what the koans bring up. Like in this one, it traps us. I'm not asking now about before. I'm not asking about after. So our mind's going like, what before? What is after? What before? Or it'll say, knocks on a coffin. A monk, a teacher knocks on a coffin. Alive or dead? And then we're stuck in. Alive. Dead. Alive. Dead. How do we find the unity? Where's the unifying principle? The old barbarian from China, speaking of Bodhidharma, does he have a beard or not? Have or not? And so we get into that duality, right? So that's what they bring up in us. I don't ask you about the 15th day. Try to say something about after the 15th day. And then he just, poof, every day is a good day. Every day is a good day. He heals it. He heals it. So what we need to learn and realize in the practice is these two truths of what we call the absolute and the relative. And I found this poem by Naomi Shihab Nye that I think touches on that in a way, and then I'll get back to it. It's called Every Day by Naomi Shihab Nye. My 100-year-old next-door neighbor told me, every day is a good day if you have it. I had to think about that a minute. She said, every day is a present someone left at your birthday place at the table. Trust me, it may not feel like that, but it's true. When you're my age, you'll know. 12 is a treasure, and it's up to you to unwrap the package gently, lift out the gleaming hours wrapped in tissue, and don't miss the bottom of the box. The bottom of the box, the bottomless box that we enter. So the absolute is that bottomless box, that ungraspable, undefinable, undistinguishable, ultimate nature, the know of the Heart Sutra we chanted. No eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. No color, sound, smell. That's describing your nature, our nature, right? No description whatsoever is possible. And then we chant, to encounter the absolute is not yet enlightenment. Because there's the other side, our life. It's irritations, it's messiness, it's joy, our relationships, our whole life, our whole relative related life. And it's the marriage, the unity of that, the form and the emptiness as one reality, mutually arising. Form is form, emptiness is emptiness. Emptiness is exactly form. Form is exactly emptiness. Anything that comes up is empty of anything fixed. It's unfixity, like that word. So that's what we explore, and we actually realize in our zazen as we see thoughts come up, and we letting go is just refocusing our attention back to breath. I mean, where did it go? What do we let go of? Like, I had this thought, and I wound it out and I chucked it over there. No, we just moved off of it, right? We didn't keep fueling it. And then we see where we keep fueling. It's called papanka, proliferate. And then after we're exhausted or something, we say, oh, I remember a practice. See that? We don't have to get mad. We don't have to blame. It's okay. It just arose, has its duration. And we go back to our breath. That's what we practice, and that gets stronger and stronger, that ability to put our mind where we want it, to rest it there for as long as we need to, as things bubble and perk. Yep. So there's a book, a process by Byron Katie, some of you may know, called The Work, and she teaches about compassionate inquiry. So we can do that. We can inquire compassionately where we got hooked, observe the storylines we've created around our circumstances, and then question, inquire, is that true? No. Later, in Zazen, we just let go and return, but later, if something came up, we can compassionately inquire. And Pema Chodron, in her book, Taking the Leap, I was remembering the Trungpa spoke of practice as just being completely present. And he says, this is not a vacation from irritation. He always had a way, didn't he? He says, if we are completely present to whatever is arising, we can have the chance to be willing to stretch beyond our self-imposed limits, endure what may seem endurable, the pain, the grief, the loss, the memories. All of this holds a good day. Every time we practice or are connected to our vows, our deepest intentions, our path is a good day. So when a student comes in and tells me, my mind is so busy, I'm really getting lost in stories and narrations, I say, that's a lot. You're seeing a lot there. Right on. That's it. Now, what do you do with that? How do you meet that? What's your practice? How are you discerning? Where do you want to go? Do you want to continue? What does that bring? Do you want to just see if you can set that aside and come back to your breath and see what that's about? Do that. That's what we're encouraged to do. Our vow, our intent as a practitioner is to show up. Just show up and practice, whether we approve or not. Feel it's the way it should be or not. You just practice what's arising. Who follows dictates anyway? Not many of us. To realize this full moon mind for ourselves is essential. And it's there every time we sit down. That is the expression of it in practice. So to turn off our computers, our phones, silence it, close the books, and learn to appreciate just sitting down. My teacher, Daito Roshi, used to say, if everyone here, when people came for retreat, came away making a relationship to Zazen, I've done my job. That's all he wanted. Just make a relationship to sitting down with yourself, with each inhale and exhalation. We've been given this precious life so we can live our vows, our bodhisattva vows, our care to be of help, be of benefit to living beings, to ourselves. I asked my teacher, Shugen Roshi, this was early in my practice, is it really true? Can we live relinquishing our preferential mind and self-absorption and living in the past and the future? I didn't believe it. Like, can somebody really be present? Like, is that true? Does that even happen? And he says, from this place, it's so. So I asked him, what is the present? Like, I can't find the present. It's, if I say be present, that's already left. So what is Yunnan calling us to experience? So we're not here to turn good days into bad days into good days. We're just here to be here as it is. And when we're connected to our deepest intention, we will feel that lightness of being no matter what the condition or circumstance. Right? Some of us who have had tremendous breakdowns, we may find a little glimmer that something's right, is okay about it. It's good. It's a good day. We're seeing it. It's always whole. Maybe there are days we say, ah, how you doing? And this is one of those days. And maybe there's another time we say, this is a good day. There's no fixed point which we can say, this is the 15th. or can capture the present mind. Where is it? As the Diamond Sutra reminds us, there's a koan. This woman has a little tea cake, and this smart aleck monk comes with all his sutras in his backpack, and he's hungry. He just wants a little tea and a little sweet. And she says, well, if you can answer this little question, I'll give it to you. And she throws this at him. Past mind cannot be grasped or recalled. Present mind cannot be held. Future mind cannot be grasped. With which mind will you take this sweet? And he was stupefied, couldn't, dumbfounded. And so he burned all his sutras. You know, at least he had that in him. Like, he didn't say, like, ah, she doesn't know what she's talking about. He realized he didn't understand all his intellectualization. He could talk the Diamond Sutra to us blue in the face, really good, scholarly. But he had no body attached. He didn't embody these teachings. She just brought him right back to this. What is? And he appreciated it, and he went on. How do we meet each other this morning in this unfathomable situation? With which mind are we meeting right now? So what about the days after the 15th? Experiencing the radical present that we can't grasp doesn't mean we detach from what comes next. It doesn't grant us oblivion. Okay, let's just get back to business as usual. Not quite, because there is no usual to get back to. No special state that can be held or attained. One teacher said, when the complacency, apathy bubble bursts, it's up to us to face what has long been conveniently ignored, lurking below the surface that is ruptured, thankfully, now. Now it's up to us to take a big chance. We can do it. We can respond with courage and loving discernment. Each reflection, how long or short its duration, manifests the vastness of the dewdrop and realizes the limitlessness of the moonlight in the sky. Fortunately for Yunmen's assembly, no one had the nerve to speak up. So Yunmen just got to nod to eternity's direction. Every day is a good day. Hey, you pure, joyful, pure, eternal beings. Speak with a pure mind, and happiness will follow every day. Every day, there'll be a good day. I thought of T.S. Eliot's poem, Burnt Norton, Still Point, where he says, it's amazing, it just, at the still point of the turning world, neither flesh nor fleshness, neither from nor towards, at the still point, there the dance is. But neither arrest nor movement, and do not call it fixity, where past and future are gathered, neither movement from nor towards, neither ascent nor decline, except for the point, the still point, there would be no dance, and there is only the dance. There is only the flowing dance. Only the dance, the liveliness, the unpredictability of each moment, the moves, the counter moves, the calls, the responses. Whatever we do, he says, don't call it fixity. Last week, somebody said to me, do you know Mae West's song? And I said, oh, yeah, I remember. And they go, she says, Is that all there is? And then she sings, then let's keep on dancing. Is that all there is? Yep, that's all there is. Let's keep on dancing. Move with the moves of the ungraspable, the unnameable. Move in accord with what is the way, with what is here. The Dharma helps us to spit up the poisons. I'll go back to that. We all have poisons, greed, anger, and delusion, and teachers help us to work with them. We help each other. That's why we have Sangha, introducing our delusions and our poisons to each other and say, help me see myself. In another fascicle of Dogen's that we studied called The Moon, he speaks of this spitting out. It's kind of like, first when I read that, I was like, yuck. Like, what's he? It sounds kind of gross or a metaphor, but it's kind of what happens. We do. We kind of spit it up. He says, and just kind of take it in. Listen with your heart. Tozu, once asked by a monastic, when the moon is not yet full, what then? The master said, swallow three or four. The monastic said, after it is full, what then? The master said, spit out seven or eight. What is examined here is not yet full and after it is full. Both are the moon's activity. Each of the three and four moons is a complete moon that is not yet full. Each of the seven or eight moons is a complete moon that is after it is full. To swallow is three or four. At this moment, the moon, which is not yet full, is actualized. To spit out is seven or eight. At this moment, after it is full, is actualized. When the moon swallows the moon, that is three or four. In swallowing the moon is brought forth. The moon is swallowing actualized. When the moon spits out the moon, that is seven or eight. In spitting out, the moon is brought forth. The moon is spitting out actualized. Thus, there is total swallowing, total spitting out. The whole earth and the whole sky are spit out. The whole sky and the whole earth are swallowed. Swallow yourself and swallow others. Spit out yourself and spit out others. You all got that? Means we can serve ourselves, we can serve others. That moon is always shining. That awakened mind is always shining. We have to swallow and spit it out. And soon we're swallowed and it's spitting out. All always whole. Yeah. Embodiment and the expression are one thing for us. This is the feeling I get hearing. Every day is a good day because we have a path. Even if you just stepped in today, it's right under your feet. When we make a choice to come here to the temple, a place of practice, we can sit down to the possibility of realizing every day is a good day. At the start of the talk, we started with Agatha. Gatha on opening the sutra. May we completely realize and actualize the Tathagata's true meaning. Yeah. May this be our prayer. May this be our vow, our pledge to realize and actualize our full moon mind. Swallow it. Spit it out. Thought by thought. Day by day. Every day is a good day with all beings. Have a good day.
Thanks so much for listening. For meditation supplies such as cushions, incense, liturgical instruments, Dharma books, and more, visit monasterystore.org. Support for your spiritual practice at home.